everyone. Welcome to Stutter Talk, episode 522 for June 23rd, 2015. I'm your host, Peter Reitzes, here in Carrboro, North Carolina, the home of voluntary stuttering. That's because I live here. And I'd like to welcome back Natalie Bragan. Hey, Natalie.
Hi, Peter. It's good to be back.
I'm so glad to have you back. Natalie Bragan is a financial analyst, managing staff accountant for the state of Maine, and a member of the Maine chapter of the National Stuttering Association. And you do the webmastering for that chapter, right, Natalie?
I do.
Awesome. So big spoiler alert, everyone. Today we are discussing the hit television show Orange is the New Black. We're going to discuss episode 7 of season 3, which is titled Tongue Tied. So if you have not seen episode 7 of season 3, if you're waiting to binge watch this weekend, stop listening because there will be spoilers. So Natalie, you're a fan of Orange is the New Black, right?
I am.
And I should say here at the top of the show that there is a stuttering twist in season 3, which is why we're talking about it. Orange is the New Black is a Netflix original series. It's now in its third season, and it's a comedic drama set in a woman's prison. And for those folks, Natalie, who have never seen the show, could you tell us just a little bit more about it?
Sure. I would say it's very loosely based upon Piper Kerman's memoir about her experiences in prison. It has quite a wide variety of characters in it, which I'm sure some people can relate to. Others, probably not so much.
So I have to ask you, so for folks who don't know, season 3 was basically dropped all at once by Netflix. So it's something they do where they put out an entire season at a time. So I have to ask you, Natalie, are you somebody who binge watches the entire season in 1 or 2 days, or do you space it out?
Oh, we space it out. Me and my husband, we both watch it. And we like to space out our shows that we watch.
Okay. Orange is the New Black, it often utilizes flashback scenes in its storytelling. Is that right, Natalie?
It does. It does. This season in particular, we are being shown some of the backstories of our favorite characters. And that's what episode 7 is about.
Great. So episode 7 is called Tongue Tied. And in episode 7, Norma, who's played by Annie Golden, is revealed to be a stutterer during one of these flashback scenes. So before we hear this scene that goes back in time to show us how Norma stutters. Could you tell us a little bit about Norma, the character, and who she is?
Sure. In the series, Norma is selectively mute. She comes off, you know, shy, meek, but with an empathetic spirit, I think. She's very loyal in the show. She's kind of been the sidekick, a follower, a type be personality, really up until this episode.
I don't watch the show, but my wife watches it, so I'm in the room a lot when it's on. And so when my wife was watching this episode a few nights ago, I heard Norma stutter. And even though I don't watch the show, I know just a little bit about the storyline, and it had never occurred to me that she was silent because she stuttered. Now, as a show watcher and as a stutterer, did you ever say to yourself, I wonder if Norma stutters?
I actually did not until this episode, which I think is a little odd, because you would think, that knowing that she is selectively mute, that she isn't actually mute. I guess it just never kind of came up in my head as to why she might have chosen to be mute.
Let's listen to a video clip that's a flashback that goes back in time to show Norma stuttering.
They call me Guru Mac because I'm a teacher. And I can teach you how to change your story. Sister Sad Eyes, what brings you to us today? Don't be shy. You're among friends. Everybody here is a searcher. Mm-hmm. What is the story that you are telling?
My...
Okay, I got it. I feel your spirit. You don't ever have to speak with me. I hear you. I'm glad you're here.
So, Natalie, what did you think of this clip where Norma's having a real tough time talking and she's stuttering and she's immediately cut off in a way that is, I mean, I guess is presented as friendly. What did you make of it?
I have to say I have mixed feelings about that piece of the episode. I know that, you know, it seems as though, you know, he's just being nice, you know, about it, because it's obvious that she is struggling tell her story. And I think I'm coming at it from, you know, the fact that I personally, you know, would feel awful about not being, I guess, quote, needed or really even wanted to speak, you know, stutter or no stutter. I love talking, you know, it's an integral piece of expression in my life. And I actually don't really feel that his reaction to her stutter was accepting in a healthy way, nor really was her reaction of relief. And I mean, in the end, or near the end of the episode, and I guess this is kind of spoiler alert, his end, I think she realizes that, you know, that that her relationship with him and maybe, you know, the way that he treated her was not healthy. You know, but I certainly, you know, I don't judge, you know, her for feeling that relief. I can definitely understand her relief in the moment. I know that I felt that a lot in school, you know, when I was given reprieve from talking in class or giving presentations, you know, though I think I recognized even then, you know, that it was not a healthy relief. And the feelings I felt afterward were really of shame and at times regret.
So here's what I had so many thoughts about that scene. And, you know, I guess I was upset with Guru Mack, who I've read in certain places is considered a cult leader. He's definitely not presented in a great way. And it's like, yeah, I'm angry at the way he responded, but we're all kind of complicit, right? I mean, Norma seemed rather relieved to be told she didn't have to talk. And man, just as you alluded to as well, I mean, I can remember wanting somebody to speak for me and giving me permission not to talk, like a band-aid of sorts.
Very true.
Yeah.
Very true.
Yeah. So I guess they're, I don't even know if I could say the Guru Mack is more complicit, except for the fact that they really present him as kind of a slime ball, right?
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
True. Yeah. And I mean, I'm not sure that, you know, that it was really all him either, you know, because in the episode, you know, she seems rather young in the episode, but she's definitely not a child. You know, so, and she seemed very shy, you know, very hesitant to speak. And so I think it probably could have had a lot to do with, you know, I guess, understanding that this is a fictional character,
right.
You know, that, you know, maybe in her childhood, you know, maybe she was taught, you know, that being silent was a better alternative to stuttering.
Yeah. And it looks like this flashback might have been in the late 60s, like kind of that Mad Men era where she was sort of dressed like it was the Mad Men era. So, yeah, who knows how she was raised, if she was raised to be silent or not. But, you know, what folks can't see at home is on the video, it shows that when Norma starts to stutter, Guru Mack kind of gets like a look on his face, like there's something wrong. And then he sort of jumps up and silences her. So while he's saying, you know, I feel your spirit and it's all lovey-dovey, it all sort of like doesn't, yeah, it's kind of makes my skin crawl a bit. But again, I can relate to it. So
True. It seems kind of like a cop-out almost, you know, of him just like getting right up, you know, of he doesn't want to wait for her, you know, to kind of get anything out. Yeah, you know, just to keep the momentum, I guess, of his little, meeting they're going.
Yeah. So let's listen to another clip. So maybe you could help put this second clip into some type of period. So Norma is older in Orange is the New Black. So during the first flashback, she's maybe in like graduate school age, in her early 20s. So for this second clip that we're about to hear, can you put this on a timeline for us of when you think it was?
Oh, I would say it was definitely some years later. She's obviously a lot older, probably like early 40s, maybe. She looks like she's had a bit of a hard life. I know she's one of the longtime characters in the show. So she's actually, I believe, one of the women in the prison who has been there the longest.
And after hearing this scene, folks might understand why I'm going to say to you, it's my guess that it's this scene that might have sent her to prison, right?
Yes.
All right, so let's take a listen.
Ah! You're never going to leave, are you? Because you are a slave. A meek little servant. And you'll never be anything else. And if I didn't tell you where to go and what to do, you would have no self at all. Nothing. Silent nothing. Worshipping nothing. Speak, woman. F-ing speak! You won't, will you? You know why? Because you have nothing to say.
Why? Son of a bitch.
Well, so Natalie, that scene's pretty intense. And of course, I had to bleep a little bit. But when he says you would have no self at all, nothing, silent, nothing, speak, you won't, will you? You know why? Because you have nothing to say. I mean, that's pretty awful for any person to hear. And certainly a person who stutters, right?
Absolutely. You know, because that's, I think that's really, you know, one of my fears, you know, is that people will think I have nothing to say, you know, and I think a lot of us as stutterers, you know, we have a lot to say and what we have to say is important. And I think it was really sad, you know, in the episode that, you know, that she would be made to feel that way, or maybe she felt that way before. I think in a lot of ways, she tries to communicate in ways other than speaking, you know, with, you know, just a look, you know, or a gesture. But, you know, speaking, it really is an integral part of expression, especially, you know, in human beings.
Oh, absolutely. And you really touched on something there. I think you're absolutely right. I mean, it is such a tremendous fear for, well, I can't speak for stutterers worldwide, but I'll speak for, I think, you and me, like, you know, for someone to think we've got nothing to say because we stutter, right? That's just terrible.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And then, of course, so she pushes him off a cliff and kills him. And, yes. You know, I'm not invested in this character, but I'm just invested that she's a stutterer. But I didn't stand up and cheer because, you know, when I mean, I don't know if that all deserved death, but it's certainly going to end her life, right? I mean, she's going to spend the rest of her life in jail.
True. And I think I can speak for both of us when we say we definitely do not condone that type of behavior.
Yeah, and no, of course not. And, you know, as I'm talking to you now, you know, a part of me just sort of sits back and thinks, is there any chance that this woman's entire life was dictated by stuttering and not stuttering? And here she met a guru who said, you don't have to speak. So, I mean, could she really have chosen this path of being with a cult leader just because he accepted her? I can't even say he accepted her stuttering. He just accepted that she could be with him and not talk. And then he basically tells her that he used her. And then she kills him. So even in his death, he's still sort of dictating her life a bit because now she's in jail. There's no upside here, is there?
No.
And I can't, I don't even like, but what I'm grappling with is this, like, you know, I do not feel this is a positive portrayal of stuttering. I'm not sure if it's a negative portrayal of stuttering. What do you think?
I guess, not really wanting to seem judgmental about it, you know, because it's completely her choice, you know, on whether or not she wants to be mute. But, you know, I feel it is an unfortunate reaction to a stutter. I think maybe if she had had some more supportive people in her life, you know, maybe she wouldn't have chosen to be mute, and maybe she wouldn't have chosen, you know, that life that she did. It really seemed as though, you know, she chose that life, you know, because he was the only one in her life that expressed, you know, something that she wanted to hear about the way she spoke. Which is unfortunate. And it really seems like he really didn't do her many favors.
Yeah. I'm wondering what you think about the writing of the show in the sense of, do you think it was well done or sloppy? And what I'm getting at is this. Do you think that they always knew that Norma stuttered, or do you think they just wanted a plot line for some reason and just decided a few months ago, well, let's make Norma a stutterer. That might explain things. I mean, does this all make sense to you?
I think maybe it does. Only really because there is a time there was a time in season one where Norma does speak, but it's only when she sings. Which I think is something that kind of relates to stutterers. I know that when I sing, you know, I don't stutter as much, you know, and so I feel a little bit more comfortable singing. Norma, of course, is a little less comfortable at first, you know, obviously because she's up in front of people. She's not, you know, an awfully, you know, outgoing personality in the show. But I think it does make sense. Whether or not I think they knew about it the entire show, I'm not entirely sure on that one. I'm not even really sure that Norma Romano was in Piper Kerman's memoir. I haven't actually read it, but from what I've read online, it doesn't seem like she was. So it seems like she was a character made up for the show.
Yeah, I tried to look that up and I couldn't find it. And
me neither.
Yeah, and I've heard interviews with people from the show, I think with the writer Jenji Kohan. I might not be saying her name right, but I don't recall hearing any discussion of this. So I couldn't find anything. And, you know, on Stutter Talk recently, this is Stutter Talk. Peter writes this with Natalie Bragan. And on Stutter Talk, we're always talking about passing as fluent. It's one of my big interest. And this is a case where somebody is just not even passing as fluent. They're just being quiet. So they don't, I mean, I'm trying to figure out if this is a form of passing as fluent by not talking. Maybe I should ask Christopher Constantino, who's doing some research on this. I'm not sure how I would call this or what I would call this. Do you have any thoughts on what you might call this?
Wow.
I'm sorry to put you on the spot.
Oh, no problem. I would really have to say that this is avoidance in its purest form.
Ooh, avoidance in its purest form. That I like. Wow. Okay. So I want to share with you. So when I first saw this episode, I was talking to you about it, and Bob Quisel, and I, my initial response was, well, gee, she pushes this Mac character off a cliff and kills him. And then when she yells down to him, she's stuttering and he's dead. So she's stuttering in front of a dead person. So part of me thought, well, gee, I mean, when you stutter in front of when you speak in front of animals and plants, you don't stutter. And so I was wondering, if you're speaking in front of a dead person, would you stutter? And so I was wondering about that. So I want to share with you something that Bob Quisel wrote me. So Bob wrote, I suppose one could argue that even a dead body contains some personhood, and as a result, it's still different than an animal or plant. Plus, there were likely verbal interactions with the corpse before death. Not a simple question, unlike all the other questions about stuttering. Remember that I'm not married to this opinion, just some thoughts, and that's Bob Quisel, which is why he's one of my advisors, because it's just like, wow, he really thought that through, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, I don't know if you could do any. I've never seen a study on talking to a corpse. but when you initially saw that scene, did I mean, because when I saw that scene, I'm like, oh, gee, that doesn't ring true. She's like, my gut was you wouldn't be stuttering if you're speaking to a dead person. Did you have any thoughts along those lines?
I would say maybe if you walked into a room and there was a body there, and maybe you had known that person, you know, and you were calm and you were alone, you know, you might not stutter. But I mean, really, in the episode, I mean, she had just done something terrible. And she was, you know, in a very frantic state, I would think, which I think might have contributed to the fact that she stuttered. On those words.
See, I, just to give the counter side to it, I was thinking she's angry, and when I'm angry, when I'm yelling, I don't stutter. And she said sort of a slang term, a son of a bleep, which also, well, when I'm talking in that type of slangy way, I don't think I stutter. So I was just sort of piling up all the why she wouldn't stutter there. But at the end of the day, you guys could be right. Okay, so let me ask you one last question. So we see Norma as somebody who's spent a big portion of her life attracted to this guru Mac, who, you know, I've read that it's in the show, it's really a cult. And then just watching this one episode, episode 7 of season 3, it looked like Norma was becoming a religious leader herself. In fact, you're the one who pointed this out. Is that weird to you that she's sort of, I mean, do you think she's taking Mac's place in a way, or what do you think?
Well, I think it's not completely out of the question, seeing as though it seemed as though she spent a good number of years with Guru Mac. But I think in this season, she kind of stumbles upon a gift that she has for making people feel at ease, which in turn I think is seen by the inmates as spiritual in a way. And so you really kind of see her embracing this newfound leadership, you know, in spite of how quiet she is. And I think, you know, we as stutterers can relate to that on some level, you know, that I think a lot of us feel like we have a piece of leadership, you know, inside us. And, you know, when given the opportunity, I think a lot of us do thrive in that environment.
Yeah, I think You're absolutely right. It's also complex, though, because the stutterers, like, at least I am very much worried and concerned about and insulted by all these, like, quick fix cures we read online that are totally bogus, or even the ones that are presented much more professionally, but sometimes have us chasing fluency because if you practice hard enough, you can do it. And then you see Norma doing this thing where she touches somebody on the shoulders or face, and then that's supposed to in some way heal them. And I sort of think, oh no, she's going to be a snake oil person. Like, does that concern you a bit that there's a stutterer being presented in this way?
It does. It does to some degree. I think understanding the show and understanding the context that it is in, you know, being in a woman's correctional facility, that can't be the easiest place to live. You know, and I think any, you know, sign of caring, you know, or, you know, just general ease or, serenity, you know, I think is a help to a lot of those women. So that's kind of how I choose to see the role that she's kind of taken on there. I think a piece of it is probably selfish on her part, you know, wanting to be needed and, you know, wanting to be needed in a way in which she doesn't have to speak. So I think a lot about this episode, you know, does, I don't really want to say offend me, you know, because I can kind of understand, you know, where she might be coming from, but it's definitely not something that I would choose for myself.
Wow, you really said that well. I'm very impressed. I don't want to take back what I said, but I love how you counterbalanced it with, you know, this is a hard place and she's providing some comfort and some care and some love. And those things are very important. And that's why I needed you to come on air, because you're a show watcher and you get it much more than me, who just drops in for an episode because there's some stuttering. Yeah. And
sure.
And you've been so polite, because I keep expecting you to say, Peter, you're taking this way too seriously. But I mean, it's cool that a hit show. I'm actually surprised there's not been a ton of buzz about this, because this is kind of like a hipster hip show, and I would think it'd be getting a lot of talk. But who knows?
I know. I was just waiting for one of my stuttering friends to bring this up.
Well, they just did. Well, I mean, it's just, but what's cool is that my wife was watching it, and I had my headphones on, and she was watching it, and I'm doing my own thing, and she starts to nudge me like, hey, this is for you, check this out. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, it was really cool. So we watched it together, and my wife actually helped me prep for this show. Like, she gave me the background on Norma and some things to talk about. So well, anyway, you've been awesome, and I hope I can get you back on air to talk about more things, Natalie Bragan.
Oh, sure. That would be really nice, Peter. It was really great talking to you again.
Same here. Thank you so much. Thank you.